Would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9? It is indeed a privilege to be here today. And I've got to say, Cedarville, I love you, and you've got to have the coolest president in all of Christian colleges in the United States. Dr. Brown is smooth with it. Did you hear how he introduced a brother and knew my children's names and stuff? I mean, that's smooth. I can't wait for him to introduce me tomorrow. You know, it's just, wow. Mark chapter 9. As we deal with this theme for the year, a Christ-centered mind, how to sharpen its focus, I'll begin reading at verse 14 from the New King James Version. And the Bible reads, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" And for the sake of emphasis today, I want to read verse 17 of Mark chapter 9 in the King James Version. The King James translates it, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit.'" So permit me today to speak on the subject of recognizing a dumb spirit. Let's pray. Father, we need your help, and we thank you that your help is available through the helper that you gave unto us, the Holy Spirit. We pray that today he would help us to understand the truths of your word, that he would take it past just sheer mental comprehension, but may the seed of the word enter deeply into our hearts so that fruit may be produced in our lives, fruit that may come as a result of repentance, fruit that comes as a result of submission and obedience. So, Lord God, in order for that to happen today, I just pray that you would look past my frailties and my limitations and my weaknesses, and that you would do something good today, in spite of all of us, that we can walk out of this place with a better understanding of the kingdom of God and the authority that Jesus has. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. One thing I've learned being a Christian since 1984, being in ministry since 1987, and pastoring a local church since 1995, is that spiritual warfare is real. It's real. I've learned that although Satan cannot possess a Christian, because the Holy Spirit indwells a Christian, and greater is the Holy Spirit in us than any spirit that's in the world. We are filled, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And although Satan, although demons, cannot possess Christians, they can certainly oppress Christians, suppress them, repress them, depress them, and just mess with them. A Christian can allow Satan to have his way with them. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, not to give the enemy, not to give the devil an opportunity. One version says not to give him a foothold. Because if we give the enemy a foothold, his goal is to turn the foothold into a stronghold. Am I right about that? Is that true? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but Paul lets us know clearly we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan has demons at his disposal that he dispatches so that he might ruin the Christian experience that we're trying to have. The Bible lets us know that there are spirits of harlotry in the book of Hosea. The Bible lets us know that there is a spirit called fear in 2 Timothy. The Bible lets us know that there are spirits of infirmity. Some sicknesses, like the one we see here in this passage, come as a result of Satan, the same one who oppressed Paul with some kind of thorn in his flesh. So as a pastor, I work with and I walk with people who are under the influence of satanic attack. And it's my job, according to Scripture, to try to help them come out from under that snare. Because I've seen people go from being one person to being a totally different person. People that you grow up with in the faith, people that you disciple, people that you walk with, people that you work with, people that you serve with. You see Jesus on them, but something happens over time. Something happens as a result of bad choices and bad influences. Evil communications can corrupt good morals. Something happens where they change from the person you thought they were to something totally different. And that person is one that is outside of the things of God, doesn't want the things of God. And it leaves you asking, will the real person please stand up? What has gotten into you? Or what has gotten on to you? And it's real. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I am instructed thusly, Paul says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. So I'm from Baltimore, and every now and then I like to bang. I like to, you know, lay hands, but it ain't always holy. So I'm encouraged. You can't fight and be a pastor. But every now and then somebody tries me, you know. Anyway, let me move on. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord. But be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, because right now they're believing a lie. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I work with people who need to be brought back to their senses from time to time. People who get ensnared and trapped and entangled and caught up. Good professing Christian people who end up being enslaved
by the enemy. And my job is with gentleness and with patience and with truth to try to love them well and bring them back to their senses that God may grant them repentance. And when you're not in your right senses, you're not in your right mind, and you're acting foolishly, you're speaking foolishly, you're being dumb. When the prodigal son left his father in the Gospel of Luke and went out and lived a lifestyle contrary to how he was raised, he did not come to his senses until he hit the bottom in a pig pen. In other words, he was out of his mind, his right mind. He was dumb. But when he repented, he came back to his senses. And I just came here today to encourage you, because we have students here who are about to graduate and go out there into the world. And there are so many lies in the world, and so many good Christian people end up getting deceived. And I just want to make sure that the dumb spirit does not come upon you. Now, we all do dumb things from time to time, but when we live in dumbness, that's just dumb. Can somebody say amen? Now, in Mark 9, there's a physical infirmity called muteness in the New King James, but called dumbness in the King James. And it was brought about by a demon. Once again, not every time someone is sick is it brought about by a demon. Earlier in the Gospel of Mark, someone was also mute, but there was no evidence that it came about because of satanic attack. So we can't always say that every time someone is sick, it's because of Satan, or even John 9, because of sin. No, sometimes it's because of natural causes. But the Bible lets us know that this demon, this kind, came upon this boy and affected his speech and his hearing. And I want to take a couple of principles today based upon what that spirit did to this boy and what I see dumb spirits doing to God's people all of the time. So journey with me. Let's just try to extrapolate a couple of things from this text. The first thing we see about this dumb spirit in verse 18 is that it can seize you. It can seize you or one of your loved ones. In my church, sometimes it seizes someone's spouse. It controls someone's child. It grabs a hold of them and will not let them go. And they walk around with a blank look on their face. And you can present to them the love of God, the truth of God, but you can see that it's not getting through because they've been seized. They've been ensnared. They've been entangled. Another thing about this dumb spirit is that it can throw you down. The spirit would throw this boy down. And whenever the enemy is at work in any of our lives, it's always about going down, going down. But when God is at work in our lives, it's about going up, going up. You know, the Bible says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. We don't know anything but up. And the Bible lets us know that we're to press towards the mark for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So when Jesus is operating, when the Holy Spirit is having his way in our lives, we're constantly going upward, upward. But when the enemy is at work, you're just going down. And you look down and your life is ragged. And another thing we see about this spirit is that it made this boy foam at the mouth. Unnatural stuff came out of his mouth as a result of the demon. Foam is not supposed to come out of your mouth. What I've seen is that when someone is under the influence of a dumb spirit, unnatural stuff comes out of their mouth. And it makes you say, where did that come from? Well, in the book of James, it talks about there is a wisdom that comes from hell. And when you start saying stuff that's unnatural, when you didn't say this stuff before, stuff like, I'm not sure the Bible is the word of God. I'm not sure it's inspired and inerrant and infallible. I'm not so sure. That's a dumb spirit. I'm not so sure Jesus is the only way anymore. That's a dumb spirit. And the ways of the world and modern relativism has taken control of you. It's lying to you where now you're speaking dumb stuff like, I'm not sure about the local church anymore. I can live the Christian life apart from the local church. That's dumb. Or, you know, I'm just not so sure about the institution of marriage anymore. You know, why can't gay people be recognized as having a civil and a legal union? That's a dumb spirit that has come upon you, causing foul things to come out of your mouth. Or let's break it down. When I'm working with people who are married, and they'll tell me, you know, Pastor, I love my wife. I'm just not in love with her anymore. I'm like, man, that's dumb what you just said to me. You mean to tell me you love her, and love means that you're going to sacrifice your will to meet the need of the other. You're willing to lay your life down in order to lift someone else up, but yet you're saying you're not in love. In other words, you're saying you're being dictated by your feelings as opposed to your commitment. You're saying you got a commitment, but you don't feel it. And because you don't feel it, you're looking for a way out of your marriage. That's a dumb spirit. And usually when I confront them at that point, they try to then change churches and find a pastor that's going to be okay with their sin. Can I be real with y'all, Cedarville? I can't keep all this stuff bottled up inside. I got to let it out somewhere. Or I'll have people say to me, well, I know I'm supposed to be committed to the covenant of marriage, but this person over here is stroking me emotionally, even meeting my needs physically, and I don't see anything wrong with me going over there to this person to have my needs met. That's a dumb, dumb, dumb spirit. And it's dumb for you to say, I know what the Bible says about fornication, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway because we're in love and we're going to get married someday. That's a dumb, dumb spirit that you have given yourself over to. Well, let me move on because I got to go. Another thing that this dumb spirit does is that it'll cause you to gnash your teeth. And when you try to help people with the dumb spirit, they gnash their teeth at you. They don't want to hear it. This boy gnashed his teeth at his father, which, by the way, is also another sign of being dumb. When you say, I know God has put my parents over me, but I'm going to disobey their authority. I'm going to disrespect their authority. I know God says to honor my parents, but my mom doesn't know what's going on. Pfft, forget my dad. Pfft, that's dumb. And then you gnash your teeth on the people who are trying to help you and get you to Jesus. Because that's what this man was trying to do, get his son to Jesus. And it's a shame when you try to help people who then turn around and hurt you. And Jesus says, be careful when you use your pearls, because sometimes if you cast them before swine, they'll turn around and try to tear you to pieces. As a pastor, sometimes I become people's enemy because I speak the truth to them. They gnash on you. Another thing about what this dumb spirit did is that it made this boy rigid. He wasn't flexible anymore. He wasn't soft anymore. He wasn't pliable. He's stiff. And when people are under the influence of a dumb spirit, their hearts are not soft anymore towards God. Their necks are hard. Their mind is just foolish, thick-headed. You become rigid to truth, rigid to anything anyone tries to say to you to help you out of your dumbness. We got to recognize the spirit, because tomorrow we're going to talk about how to evict it. But today, let's talk about how to recognize it. And then another thing is that this dumb spirit doesn't want to be around Jesus or his people, because the Bible says that when Jesus came in verse 20, and when the spirit saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed and fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth, just showing out. So when Jesus walked in and walked up after having been on the mountain of transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, comes down, finds a mess down in the valley, begins to deal with this demon. When the demon sees Jesus through the boy, it begins to act out because the demon knows, now that I've met light, the light of the world, now that I've met the Lord of hosts, he's the host over all of the angelic hosts who are not fallen and the ones who are fallen. He has all authority. That demon doesn't want to see Jesus, because that demon knows, uh-oh, my time is short now. So when the dumb spirit is on you, you don't want to come to chapel. When the dumb spirit is on you, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to worship. You want to stay as far away from the light as possible, because the light will expose your junk. So the dumb spirit gets you and says, don't go to Bible study. Don't go to discipleship groups. No. Stay in your darkness. And keep on hanging out with dumb people, because dumb people like to flock together. Form a dumb gang of dumbness. And then the dumb spirit can be on you for a while. Now tomorrow we'll talk about this a little bit more, but the dumb spirit has the boy and he's on the ground convulsing, foaming at the mouth, just showing out, pushing all of the buttons, you know, and he's... And Jesus is just cool. He's just cool. You know how he's cool? He asked the father while the demon is just working on the boy. Jesus like, how long has he been like this? Like, Jesus isn't going to make a scene. He's not going to panic because he has all authority. He knows what he's about to do. So when you God, you can chill. And when you know God, you can chill. Because God ain't up in heaven wondering what he's going to do. He's not twiddling his thumbs, sitting on the throne saying, oh, what's going to happen? No, the one who sits on the throne is worthy of the throne, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee must bow to him, even things under the earth. So Jesus is chill. He asked the father, how long, man, has this been? Dad is like, well, since childhood, this thing has been on him. And Jesus took some time to minister to the father, because sometimes we overlook the people who have to carry the burden of other people. We focus so much on the person that's showing out and acting out that we forget the parents and the pastors and the mothers and the brothers who are trying to carry their sibling to Christ that has a dumb spirit. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you some time and I'm going to talk to you. Man, let me give you some personal time. He says it's been a long time, and the dumb spirit can be on you for a minute. All the enemy needs is a crack. Next thing you know, he's going to turn that crack into a gaping hole. And then Jesus is going to rebuke that spirit. But before he does, the father says, let me tell you something else about this spirit in verse 22. Often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. There it is. The spirit, its ultimate goal is to kill this boy. Jesus said, for the thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So when we make light of sin, when we make light of evil and darkness, we're opening ourselves up to death. For the wages of sin is always death. A paycheck is going to come. We just don't know when. That's why we've got to abort it, as James says. Just cut it off. Repent. Cast it away. Come to Jesus. Let it go. But when the dumb spirit is on you and you think that you can just do whatever you want, whenever you want, without there being any repercussions or consequences, watch out. Because the dumb spirit will take you into the fire. But people who are under the dumb spirit are so dumb that they don't think that the fire will burn them. Fire may burn somebody else that cheated on an exam, that plagiarized a paper, but it won't burn me because I'm smart in my dumbness. I know how to hide things. No. The dumb spirit will have you walking towards a fiery inferno with gasoline drawers on, you about to poof, blow up. Dumb spirit will take you to some deep water, knowing you can't swim. And it's about to drown you, but you think you can walk on water for some reason. The dumb spirit will get you. And its goal is to kill you, to destroy your life. This boy had a dumb spirit on him. But we don't know how this boy got that dumb spirit. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible doesn't tell us why the spirit wanted this boy. Maybe it saw the potential of this boy. Maybe it saw, man, if we can just get out in front and get a hold of this student, this child, this boy, this girl, we can stop its potential from developing. We don't know why, but I'm so glad, and we'll see tomorrow that Jesus shows up. And he's going to deal with the dumb spirit. I'm so glad that he's a God who has the time, takes the time, sees the need to just stop and minister to a hurting family and help a young man who's so sick he doesn't even know he's sick. That's our Jesus. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I go back home to Tennessee, I've got some matters to deal with. I started praying this morning, thinking about the people in our congregation who have succumbed to this dumb spirit. And as a body, we pray for them, we fast for them, and we pray that God has mercy on them. But I came here just to encourage you, do not let the dumb spirit take control. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this warning. Thank you for this admonishment. Thank you for this encouragement. Thank you for how your spirit will speak and say things that I didn't even say. Because, Lord God, you speak to all of us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this time. We pray that this word will produce fruit and that it would heal. In Jesus' name, amen.